On the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes,
here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Garjula Vineyards, we have the 2022 Frankwood Chardonnay. We have the Garjula Vineyards 2018 G Major 7 Cabernet Sauvignon. The Garjula Vineyards 2018 Money Road Ranch Cabernet Sauvignon. From Beaulieu, we have the Beaulieu Vineyards 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon and the Beaulieu Vineyards 2019 Rutherford Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. And from Ehlers Estate, we have the Ehlers Estate Portrait, the Ehlers Estate Jean Leduc 2021, and the Ehlers Estate 1886 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. This is what we do for you, our fans. We drink and we sacrifice. So
we'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m. No argument?
No argument.
I think so.
I think we've peaked.
We have like, you know, we're competing against the 2017 lacrosse finals, so I think we're going to waste them.
Oh, yeah, we got that. Yeah. Americans don't get lacrosse. We're set. Right.
Awesome.
We're finally number one. This is Madman Bob, and joining me today are good old gal Denise.
Good morning. I enjoy early morning drinking with you gentlemen.
She enjoys early morning drinking and tequila early sunrises on the beach and Sagittarius. And good old boy, Maury.
Good morning.
Wow.
Nice to be here.
He's like, wow, good that's morning. Great. Yeah.
Did we get you?
He's worried.
Did we wake you up?
He's been hanging around too. Stop hanging around, Justin. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. This is going to be a great day in the basement because, as longtime fans may know, this is the second show of the day. So yes. We're all feeling very, very good.
Yeah, that's what makes this job great. Like, you all whine, like, oh, can we? No, we need to do two shows at a time. Number one, getting all you knuckleheads at the same table at the same time is like herding cats on crack.
Right.
And number two, the second show is always better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That'd
so
be
buckle up.
Good line for Quentin Tarantino, Cats on Crack.
Yeah. Cats on Crack. Yeah.
He could pull that off.
That could be a whole movie.
Cats on Crack.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Kill Bill, Cats on Crack, number two.
Yeah. Uh oh. I think you're on to something, Bob.
First time in my life for everything. Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee, and everything else you can sip. And here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Garjula Vineyards, we have the 2022 Frankwood Chardonnay. We have the Garjula Vineyards 2018 G Major 7 Cabernet Sauvignon. The Garjula Vineyards 2018 Money Road Ranch Cabernet Sauvignon. From Beaulieu, we have the Beaulieu Vineyards 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon and the Beaulieu Vineyards 2019 Rutherford Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. And from Ehlers Estate, we have the Ehlers Estate Portrait, the Ehlers Estate Jean Leduc 2021, and the Ehlers Estate 1886 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. So against my better judgment, we're going to have Justin tell us about sips ratings.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth, punk.
He always goes back to the one that he's got. That's, you know, that's his best one.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Now, remember, I said this is his best one.
Doesn't mean it's good.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
It's just, but it's just best the best one, I have. Yeah. Right. Three sips. Hmm. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
That was good.
This is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun. Never mind.
Exactly. Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Get off my lawn.
Oh my goodness. Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes! Longtime California resident, Clint Eastwood.
Exactly. Mm. All right. Well, in reward to him for his fine quality imitation, we're going to let Justin tell us about a little bit about Gargiulo Vineyards. So since he's been there, he probably knows a few things. So tell us about him.
The genesis of Gargiulo Vineyards can be traced back to the 1980s when Jeff Gargiulo, a lifetime farmer, and his wife Valerie and their young family traveled to Napa Valley to visit Valerie's cousins, Barney and Belle Rhodes. Napa Valley icons, Barney and Belle Rhodes, had been in the Napa Valley since the late 1960s, growing grapes in Rutherford at Bella Oaks Vineyard. Falling in love with the area, they were confident that with Barney and Belle's help, Jeff's agricultural knowledge, they would make some of the finest wines in the world. So in 1992, they purchased their first vineyard, Money Road Ranch, in Oakville, Napa Valley. 7 years later, they purchased their second Oakville property, 575 OVX. They released their first vintage of Gargiulo Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon in 2000. So I've been there a couple of times, and one of the really interesting things about the property, other than its great beauty and beautiful sunrises and sunsets, is that it is directly next door to this winery called Screaming Eagle, which is one of the big cult wines, and is just literally on the other side of the fence, and a little more reasonably priced. So
a little,
yeah, like 90% less,
vastly more reasonably priced.
Yeah, and
this Californian wines are all so good.
I miss Snape.
Was he the guy that just passed away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God rest your soul, sir.
Bottle Shock, one of my favorite movies.
So the first wine we're going to talk about is Gargiulo Vineyards 2022 Frank Wood Chardonnay. 13.1% alcohol by volume. It's named after Gargiulo's legendary first vineyard manager, Frank Laurie Wood. This wine is made with 100% hand-picked Chardonnay, which is whole cluster pressed and fermented in mostly neutral barrels and stainless steel drums. So this vintage, I got the strong butter on the nose, fresh baked bread. That's kind of a classic flavor profile of Chardonnay. It really varies from year to year. The 2020 and the 2021 were less buttery, but this one is classic buttery. On the palate, I got lemon, almond concentrate, pears, and the finish was clean and crisp. Maury, what did you think?
I thought this was a delightful wine. The color is super pale, but the nose is bright, and I agree with you, the palate is viscous, mouth coating, a lot of brioche, a lot of butter, a lot of really voluptuous flavors. And then the finish just seems to go on and on and on. I know they're primarily known for their reds, but I thought this was a delicious Chardonnay. This was a style that I really like and appreciate. And I thought it was delicious. I really, really, I have not had this before, but I really appreciated the the finesse, the style, and the structure. I think this is a beautifully made wine. Denise, what do you think?
Well, again, you described it as creamy. The mouthfeel was creamy. And again, I found it to be a little more crisp and clean on this particular wine or Chardonnay. And when Justin was describing it and that it's fermented in mostly neutral barrels and stainless steel drums, I think that that creates a really nice balance for this wine. Not too much stainless steel, which I don't love, and not overly oaked, which I don't love. So it created a lovely balance. But for me, it was a little more crisp and clean on the nose, more citrus, lemon, even more like a lemon meringue pie. And interestingly enough, on the palate for me, I still got the lemon, but a little bit sweeter, like a lemon curd. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed this Chardonnay. I think it's a wine that can be paired with many different foods or as a standalone and just enjoying company and some charcuterie. But I think it's a lovely Chardonnay.
That's why I love having Denise here, because her palate always lines up with mine.
We do, don't we,
Bob? I get the same thing, the lemon curd on the palate. It's mm-hmm. just, it's that sweet, very fresh, very bright lemon, but
right, but with a little to sugar to it almost. Yeah. It sweetens
just,
it.
Just
right
sweetened up yeah. and creamy and just viscous. There's some fresh oak on this. The acidity on this is so bright. And like yeah. Maury said, Garjoule, when I think Garjoule, I'm thinking red.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fantastic Chardonnay.
Oh, it really is.
I think of as a red house. So yeah. it just shows that they really know what they're doing. I mean, this is a beautiful Chardonnay. Citrus, lemon, fresh oak, great acidity, a little bit of marzipan, nice mouthfeel to it. So we're going to be rating the Garjoule Vineyards 2022 Frankwood Chardonnay, a well-deserved 4 sips.
Perfect.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next one from Garjoule, which is the Garjoule Vineyards 2018 G Major 7 Cabernet Sauvignon. So it's 14.6% ABV, 22 months in medium toast French barriques, 90% new. G Major 7 Cabernet Sauvignon is blended from selected fruit off the 575 OBX vineyard and is named after a classic jazz guitar chord. It is a blend of 4 of the classic 5 Bordeaux varietals. It's 86% Cabernet Sauvignon, 10% Cabernet Franc, 2% Petit Verdot, and 2% Merlot. It's got a beautiful dark ruby color to it. On the nose, I get a minerality to it, a dust, a little bit of stoniness to it. And we'll be back. Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing the Garjoule Vineyards 2018 G Major 7 Cabernet Sauvignon. So, beautiful nose on it. Dusty, minerally. A little bit of dry stone on it. But on the palate, hold on. On the palate, it's a beautiful, just a beautiful oakiness, but not overpowering oak. Whereas some people go just too far, but just that nice backbone of the oak. It's got some nice tight tannins on it, blackberries and cassis. Got a nice mouthfeel to it. It coats the whole palate. What'd you think, Denise?
I agree with everything you said, and we're usually really in line with each other. But on the nose, I thought a little bit of mint. I'm like, kind of like what's in my garden. I'm out there, I'm gardening a little bit, and then I get this little hint of mint every once in a while because I do grow mint in the garden. So it had some floral notes, a little bit of mint. I thought
definitely there.
Yeah. The palate had the stone, maybe a little charred wood and some leather tobacco notes, which I thought were just fantastic because the nose was totally different. So again, you know, when you pick up these notes on the nose and then the palate is very different, that's always really exciting and interesting and makes you go back.
It's not so much in your face mint julep mint,
oh,
but
no,
it's more
definitely
that,
not.
That cooling
right
sensation.
Just almost eucalyptus in the back.
There's a eucalyptus
in the background,
that was hard to describe.
I don't need any of you. I just me and her, and we're fine. I don't need the rest of you guys.
Sorry, excuse me. I'll just crawl under a rock.
But no, you know, again, I do grow mint and I garden, so I'm using the wet earth and I can smell that. And then all of a sudden you get this little aroma of mint. And that's exactly what the nose on this glass is for me, which is always nice because I like gardening and
delicious.
Being outdoors.
What do you think, Maury?
No, I agree. I agree with, as I chimed in, the hint of mint / eucalyptus is there. It's got a lot of multidimensionality, a lot of layers on the palate. I would say the only thing I could search for that I would say would be less than perfect is it's a little thin. It's not quite as thick and viscous on my palate as I'd like it to be, but the flavors are there. And I thought it was extremely well made, and I thought it was delicious. Justin?
So I really enjoyed the tannic structure of this expression. That was very well constructed. It was filled in with bright, vibrant fruit for me. And that carried on all the way to the finish. And it is a red blend. So it's not evoking like a specific varietal memory, but it's a pretty cool blend altogether. And I think it's a fun wine.
Bright and it's not a brooding red. It's more of a bright red.
It's like a fun wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that describes it well.
Yeah. We're going to be rating the Gargiulo Vineyards 2018 G Major 7 Cabernet Sauvignon, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to have Maury tell us about our next one, Gargiulo.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. The next wine is the Gargiulo Vineyards 2018 Money Road Ranch Cabernet Sauvignon. It clocks in at 14.6 ABV. The Money Road Ranch is a single vineyard, 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. It has been aged for 20 months in medium plus French barriques, 78% of which are new.
And I heard a screeching.
Again.
Between a screech and a whistle.
It's our favorite guy.
Let me know when you're ready.
Remember that F-35 crash and they found the guy in middle of nowheresville, South Carolina, crashed in his backyard? That's him. I love that guy.
He was like 70 years old, but he looked like not a day over 45.
Yeah, God
bless
him.
Had the energy of a 30-year-old.
Yeah, God bless him. He's my hero.
I don't remember him. Well, in any event, this wine has a beautiful, deep, dark purple color. It's got lots going on in the nose. The nose is just something you can just sit and inhale and imbibe for the whole afternoon. I love the palate on this, the mouthfeel, classic Cabernet Sauvignon. It's just viscous. It's mouth coating. It's got lead. It's got graphite. It's got leather. It's got tobacco. It's got cassis. It's just got everything going on. And then it just keeps to go on and on and on. The finish for me was medium to long. Not the longest I've ever seen, but delightful, enjoyable, beautifully well made. I think it's delicious today. I think this wine's going to age nicely for another half a decade or more. And I loved it. I was digging it. What'd you think, Justin?
So I could kill a lot of time and just repeat what you said, but instead I'm going to ask Denise a question.
Okay.
So off air, you let us know that you enjoyed Screaming Eagle, which is right next door. So have you had their 100% cab at Screaming Eagle? That's one question.
The answer is yes, right?
Yes.
I don't believe I've ever had a blend.
No, the Screaming Eagle is 100% cab.
Yeah.
So compare that to this.
Oh. Well, I would like to compare them side by side.
I would like to, too. Mr. Eagle, please send us some screaming over here. Go ahead.
But it's hard not to just agree with Maury at this point that this is a classic cab. It has all the beautiful red fruit notes. It's got an amazing mouthfeel. It's got a terrific finish. It will stand up to...
It's just got everything.
Anything that you want to put on the plate.
Checks all the boxes.
Yeah. And, you know, I typically don't just drink my cabs with a meal. I like to drink them with a meal, absolutely. But I will certainly enjoy a glass before the meal and definitely finish the bottle after the meal. So I think a cab like this just really, as you said, checks the boxes to do all of those things.
Just salty and fatty and delicious right now would be so good.
So are they,
you're a before, during, and after PDA equal? Girl, huh?
Just compare the two. Like, tell us what Screaming Eagle's like. I'm sure I have never
Maury
had
has
it.
Had it more often and can definitely give you a better
Screaming
comparison.
Screaming Eagle's a big wine. And honestly, you know, in my opinion, it's become a commodity. It's become a something to be traded. Mm-hmm. The values are very, very high. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I don't think the value is there in terms of what's in the glass for what you're paying. It's you're paying for the name and you're paying for the commodity. Most people, unfortunately, are on the list. They buy it, they get it released, and they immediately turn it around and sell it because it's worth more unopened than it is in the bottle.
But here you've got a beautiful cab from literally the same vineyard.
Exactly.
That is fantastic.
At a fraction of the cost.
At a fraction of the cost.
So is it similar or way different?
No, I would say it's fairly similar. Yeah. They tend to be a little bit more close. They tend to take a lot more time to develop. Yeah. So you need time in the bottle. They need to age. Then they need some air to open up. And I would say, again, the terroir is very similar. The handling is fairly similar. The wines are not that dissimilar. But you're paying a lot for the name. I think this is a great value. While it's not cheap, it's a great value. I think Screaming Eagle, most people would agree, you're paying a premium.
If you see Garjulo, buy it. Buy it. It's that simple. So,
do you have this in your collection?
I actually have. I'm on the list. Okay. So I get their allocation every year, Garjulo. Mm-hmm. And I was really curious about the comparison to Screaming Eagle only because it was right next door.
Yeah.
I think you would have to really try them side by side.
It'd be fun to do a blind. Yeah,
be great. We could probably pull that off.
Great, right. Great wines and a really nice place and lovely people. Sharon over at Garjulo is the one who sent us these wines.
Thank you
so much. Just as good as they were when we were there back in January. So,
and thank you to Mike Lambrex for introducing me to Garjulo in the first place. Yeah, he's in our Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. Mm-hmm. And he said, while you're out there, go try this. And I'm not regretting it.
Oh, interesting.
Well, we're going to be giving the Garjulo Vineyard 2018 Money Road Ranch Cabernet Sauvignon a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to take us to our next winery, and we're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Well, I am more than happy to do that. However, there's a slight read-in, and I apologize in advance if I...
Feel free to drop anything in the read-in you feel like.
Wrong. But nevertheless...
We've all had some wine, you get a total pass.
I got wordy.
No matter what you say.
And English is my first language. That's my disclaimer.
English is my third language.
So I don't want to annihilate it. Well, in 1900, when Georges de La Tour's wife, Fernand, or is it Fernande?
I'm going to go silently.
Fernand first laid eyes on the land that would become their original Rutherford Vineyard. She said, "Que beau lieu," or "What a beautiful place." Shortly thereafter, De La Tour sold his thriving cream of tartar business, bought the 4-acre ranch, and founded Beaulieu.
It's something that's left over. It's tartaric acid that you get from winemaking. So
why not?
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking tartar sauce. Like, who's got a tartar sauce business?
Cream of tartar. It's pretty much potassium, powdered potassium. Yeah, interesting.
I'm learning as we go. Go ahead, Denise.
Well, they bought the 4-acre ranch and founded Beaulieu Vineyard with the vision of making Napa Valley wines that would rival those of his native France. Georges, is it George or Georges?
I think Georges.
Georges, right?
Georges.
Georges and his wife expanded their land holdings over the next several decades and began importing... Sorry, my mic just fell apart.
Pest-resistant vines.
pest-resistant vines and offered European visits vinifera varieties that were grown, grafted, and shipped from Europe to his fellow wine industry colleagues in California. He even established his own nursery in Paris to produce these grafted wines. Years before...
Vines.
What? Vines. Did I say wines?
You did. It's okay.
It's the wine. Right.
The wine will do it to you.
The wine and the vine. Yeah. Yeah. Years before Prohibition began, De La Tour had the foresight to obtain a warrant to produce altar wine for the church and was thus positioned to become the first nationwide supplier of altar wine to Catholic churches across America. In 1923, Georges de La Tour...
Our people rule. We drank through Prohibition.
...purchased the Fred Ure Winery, a building that dates back to 1885. Its four original stone walls remain the core of today's Beaulieu Vineyard Winery in Rutherford. In 1938, de La Tour traveled to France and met André Tekleschef.
Tekleschef.
Yes. De La Tour hired Tekleschef, a Russian-born enologist with European winemaking expertise and as a winemaker. After 35 years at Beaulieu Vineyard, Tekleschef retired in 1973 and the role of winemaker passed to his successors. After almost 20 years of retirement, André Tekleschef rejoined Beaulieu Vineyard as a wine consultant and worked with the winemaking team to continue to bring innovation to the winery until his passing in 1994. So today we will try the Beaulieu Vineyard's 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon. It comes in at 14.7% ABV. It is 83% Cabernet Sauvignon, 4% Charbonneau, 4% Petit Sirah, 3% Merlot, 2% Touriga Nationale, 2% Petit Verdot, and 2% Malbec. After the grapes were destemmed and crushed, they fermented the must in stainless steel tanks until dry. Then they pressed the skins and gently transferred the freshly fermented wine to 60-gallon French, American, and European oak barrels, 30% new, for malolactic fermentation and 18 months of aging. Holy moly. Thank you for getting me through that.
French,
what do you think?
And the Russian pronunciation.
It was like torture for someone that had a couple.
Tekleschef.
Yes.
Okay. Forget the tea. Tekleschef.
Sure.
So what do you think?
I think it's great.
There you go.
I think it's got a beautiful red ruby color. I love the Bing cherry and cassis. You definitely get the description of those holiday spices. If not at first, just give it a swirl and they'll be there on the nose, which is really interesting because it's like in the background. It's just crazy. The palate is big. It's big dark cherries, just like maybe stewed cherries. It's amazing. It's a great wine.
It's Beaulieu Vineyards. They always make great wine. I get the red currants. I definitely get the cherries and the cassis.
Yeah.
And it's just bright red berries, raspberries, cherries. There's a really nice balance on the tannin. It fills the whole mouth, front, back, and sides. A little bit of blackberry on it. Just a lovely wine. What'd you think, Maury?
I agree with you. I think it's more red, predominantly red fruit over black fruit. But the red currant, the raspberry, the cherry, the cassis, some holiday spice, as you noted. Again, it's voluptuous. It's mouth coating. It's got a really nice palate. It's got layers on the palate, a nice long finish. It's a beautifully crafted wine. I mean, there's really nothing you can say. There's no flaws. It's just a beautiful wine.
It's BV. They're always great. Yeah. You know, they're a stalwart in the valley and have been forever. So that's why I reached out to them and I'm glad they sent us some wine. What did you think, Justin?
So this to me is a classic French wine with Napa terroir.
Oh, I like that.
Which I think is what they were going for. And they really pulled it off. That being said, I agree with what everyone before me said. And what did you think, Bob?
Well, I already said what I thought, but...
Had a couple of glasses of wine, so on to the next.
Well, we're going to be giving the Beaulieu Vineyard 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon a well-deserved four sips.
Yes.
That's classified.
An amazing blend. Touriga Nationale. I mean, that's one you don't often see in Napa. So
almost never.
So that's going to take us to our next one, which is the Beaulieu Vineyards 2019 Rutherford Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon, 14.9% ABV, 85% Cabernet Sauvignon, 10% Petit Verdot, 5% Malbec. The 2019 vintage marks the second release of this Rutherford Reserve Cab. The grapes were handpicked between October 2nd and 23rd, 2019, before being destemmed and cold soaked for 7 days for gentle flavor extraction. During the 8 to 12 day fermentation, they pumped over the cap to incorporate the skins into the juice before barrel aging for 21 months and 100% French oak, 100% new. And that shows, because the oak on this is absolutely lovely. Oh, it's just beautiful, bright French oak. Dark blackberries. Lovely earthiness to it, a little bit of a minerality to it. On the palate, there's blackberries, there's that backbone of the oak, a little bit of cedar, a little bit of cinnamon, and again, that minerality just comes through. This is to me, this is your classic Napa cab. You're getting that stoniness, that dustiness. It's that Rutherford dust. Beautiful wine. What'd you think, Denise?
I think I'd like somebody to expand on the Rutherford dust for me. I saw that description and I thought, that's...
It's a dusty, minerally kind of character that you get in a lot of the Rutherford wines. So,
you know, the dusty quality you get in old bourbon?
Yeah.
It's a lot like that.
Yeah. Well, this one's really... it has a really nice mouthfeel. It's a little forward on the tannins for me. Mm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it needs a little more time and it needs a little bit of oxygen. It's definitely improved in the glass, and I agree it's a little bit young. But honestly, I agree with everything Bob said. I think it's a quintessential California cab. It's got much more black fruit than the previous wine that we tried from BV. This one, you can definitely see the oak coming through. The oak gives it a much stronger backbone. It's got definitely more aging potential. And while I think it's beautiful now and definitely benefited from aeration, decantation, and time, I think it will continue to improve.
Yeah. I think it has an overall bigger flavor profile. Yeah, there's much bigger. So We're many the front different edge notes, of this. Right? Yeah.
We'll be back.
Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing the Beaulieu Vineyards, so 2019 Rutherford Reserve. I'm with Maury. I think we are at the very razor edge of where this needs to be drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
It's great now. I don't think we've opened it too soon, but we were at the very beginning of this.
It's going to get better.
And right now, just be patient.
I don't feel bad opening it.
No.
Like I do with some wines that we opened before. This one, I think we're at the cusp, but this one's fantastic. And again, you and I are in agreement. This is your classic old school Napa cab. So we're going to be giving the Beaulieu Vineyards 2019 Rutherford Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So we're going to have Maury tell us about our next winery.
Thank you, Bob. The next wine is from Ehlers Estate. It is an organically farmed 42-acre vineyard located in St. Helena, Napa Valley, at the base of the Mayacamas Mountains.
Mayacamas.
Thank you.
Yep.
The original stone winery building, dating back to 1886, was built of tuff and basalt by Bernard Ehlers, a Sacramento grocer who made his fortune selling tools to miners that had traveled to California in search of gold. In 1885, he relocated his family to Napa Valley and established the winery on Ehlers Lane after buying the property from a viticulturist who had lost his vines to phylloxera. Ehlers replanted the vineyard along with olive trees that continue to bear fruit today. After passing in 1901, Bernard's wife, Anna Ehlers, continued making wine in the stone building. After Prohibition, a series of different owners, Jean and Sylvain Leduc, purchased some blocks of the vineyard in 1987. Aiming to create a winemaking legacy like the great Chateau of Bordeaux, By 2001, Gene and Sylvain acquired the surrounding acres and the historic stone building to create the estate and restore the Ehlers name. Today, Ehlers Estate is owned by the Leduc Charitable Trust, established by Gene and Sylvain Leduc in 1996. It's a very interesting story.
It really is.
It's a lovely winery, too. There's still, you remember we were there in January, there were still some olive trees out front. So
yeah,
huge, huge olive trees out front.
But it just instills hope that you can go from a grocer to, like, you know,
I'm still hoping winemaker. I can go from a lawyer
exactly.
to a winemaker.
That's what I'm saying. There's still hope for all of us.
So the first wine is the Ehlers Estate Portrait 2021 St. Helena Appellation, 14.5% ABV. The varietals are 47.5% Cabernet Sauvignon, 17.5% Cabernet Franc, 29% Merlot, 6% Petit Verdot, and 18 months of barrel aging. This is a beautiful deep ruby color on the nose. Definitely Luxardo cherries. A hit of citrus and some strawberry jam. Very bright and fruit forward nose. On the palate, it's definitely mouth coating, weaves through the tannins. There are layers of plum. I get a little bit of rhubarb, a touch of sea salt, and then there's this just persistent backbone of tannin that kind of carries through with a medium to long finish. I thought this was really a delightful wine. It was not one that I'm familiar with prior to tasting it, but I thought it was extremely well made and very, very enjoyable. What did you think, Denise?
Oh, well, thanks for asking, because I was a little hung up on the Luxardo cherries that you described. I am a fan of Luxardo cherries. I recently had a cocktail, and the person that made it, I'm like, what is this garbage that you're giving
there
me?
There is only Luxardo.
Thank you, Bob.
There is only Luxardo. Everything else is cheers imitation.
And it was not a Luxardo cherry, no. And I was called a Luxardo cherry snob. So
I have no problem with that. I'm totally fine with it.
I love the Luxardo cherry description on the nose. It's right there. I did get the strawberry or strawberry jam. And I hate to say that you're right, Maury, but the rhubarb, I think,
I would never
shines through
ever
on the palate.
Right.
I know that
he's,
was really
he's
hard
not right
for
about
me.
Anything.
I have to go into therapy for that statement, but the rhubarb, because it's not so sweet. So it's not this sweet.
It's not like a rhubarb
fruit
pie.
It's forward, yeah, right. Yeah. I don't get so much of the sea salt or sea spray.
I get
not
more
yet,
on the nose.
But exactly, yeah. But not on the palate. But it has a lovely finish and a great mouthfeel. And it's an enjoyable wine. I actually gave it a nice rating today.
Yeah, I get more of the sea spray on the nose than I do on the palate.
Yes.
Sometimes that saltiness will come through as a minerality. Sometimes it's more dusty, stony as opposed to salty. I get the sea spray on the palate.
But it does have some acidity
on the palate.
It's
got such just lovely, silky, round, smooth tannins. I mean, they're so well incorporated. Just dark fruit.
Yeah, it's definitely drinkable today.
Yeah, it's. I think it'll get better with time, but this one, again, it's one of the ones that I don't feel guilty about opening. This one is delicious, and we were there a few months ago at the winery, and it's a beautiful little property that most people don't even know is there. And they're missing out. They make fantastic wine. What do you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I got olives and Tony Chachieri's seasoning on the palate. Tony Chachieri's seasoning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
was really good on
a
ribeye. Oh, yeah. Good on ribeye, pork.
That's a New Orleans, right? Seasoning or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I definitely got like really good tannic structure on this. It was smooth. I got fruits. I even got the rhubarb because I have like a rhubarb pie at our other co-host Brent's house. Mm. Kind of nightmares.
Nightmares.
Yeah, I'm not a big rhubarb pie guy.
Oh.
But the rhubarb worked in this expression. It just doesn't work as a pie for me. Oh, let me smell that.
Yeah.
We got some Tony Chachieri's here for the people.
That it helps when you're recording at the house. Yeah,
don't see.
Yeah, I got Chachieri's.
What we're doing here,
dude? I got.
He's got a basement full of
nine cabinets full of spices. I got about 12 kinds of salt in this house. So,
I love that. I pull it out of my you know what, and Bob's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to give the Ewers Estate Portrait 2021 a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
All right, Justin, why don't you tell us about our next one from Ewers Estate?
So the next one we're going to talk about is Ewers Estate Jean Le Duc 2021 St. Helena Appellation. It's 14.5% alcohol by volume. It's 100% cab, single block, 20 months barrel aging. And this one, I get like graphite, I get bright fruit, I get like oranges.
I am very aroused.
On the palate, I get like a rock quarry. I get bold fruit, and the finish, it's like all side palate. It's bright, and then it fades away quick. What do you think, Maury?
Well, thank you for asking, Justin. I think that this wine is decidedly a little bit different than the previous wine. I agree with everything you said. I think it's got a lot of graphite. I found the graphite, the lead, those interesting mineral-like notes to be pencil shavings, to be fairly prominent, both on the nose and on the palate. This sort of note of like kind of crushed rock and dark brooding, dark black fruits and blue fruits. I thought it was a very nice wine. I really enjoyed it quite a lot. It was similar, but like as in related, but yet different to the portrait.
Yeah, and this is the darker Napa.
Yeah.
Like the last BV we had was the classic Napa cab. This is the dark and sinister Napa cab.
Well, thank you for that. And I would agree with you. Would you like to expand on that?
I think it's absolutely lovely. Again, the minerality comes through, the graphite comes through, the dusty stone, dark fruit, very, 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 very dark fruit. Like dark stewed fruit, a lovely tannin to it, not overpowering tannin, but an encompassing tannin surrounds the whole mouth, front, back, palate, side palate, gets you everywhere you need to go. Just a beautiful wine, absolutely beautiful wine.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice step up from the previous one. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. What did you think, Denise?
No, I think that this wine is just amazing. It's lovely. It's got so much going on, but not in a not in an overdone way or a muted way where there are so many flavors or flavor profiles that you can't identify them. You definitely can. The nose is lovely. The palate is wonderful. It's interesting that there's a description of it being more mineral and sanguine, which is a term that I know all too well from the hospital. And I'm pretty confident they're not describing it as being positive, but more like blood, where you will often have a more iron or metallic sort of hint to it. And I get that definitely on the palate, which is interesting. So you can typically pick that up on the nose, but you can pick it up on a palate if you've ever cut yourself and put it to your lips. But so that's an interesting way to describe it, but they're spot on with that. Mm-hmm. And it's lovely. And I'm not a vampire. I just want to put that out there.
I was beginning to wonder.
Making the comment that's like what I'm thinking in my head. That was
there's two
lawyers at this table. So if you are a vampire, you're among friends. Don't worry.
Well, I do tend to show up at 2 a.m. in a dark basement. So
we believe that's kind of questionable.
That's where the good wine is.
Vampires are welcome.
We're the wine vampires. That'll be our next podcast.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a lovely, lovely. I mean, it should really show in the terroir, I think. I think it's a beautiful wine. So we're going to be giving the Ehlers Estate Jean Leduc 2021 a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to bring us to our last wine of the day, which is the Ehlers Estate 1886 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, St. Helena Appellation, 14.5% ABV, 100% Cabernet Sauvignon single block, 20 months of barrel aging. So it's got a nice dark plum color to it with a nice rim that's kind of a dark ruby. Blackberries, cassis, a little bit of blueberry in there. And on the palate, beautiful fruit forward, but there's a very nice, usually when you get a fruity wine, it doesn't have that base to it, but this has a really nice underlayment, a really nice base to it. I love the winemaker's notes. They had hoisin sauce, and I've been trying to find that. And I'm like, man, I buy hoisin by the 5 gallon bucket. They're like, I'm not getting that, but
I couldn't find it either.
I was hoping for it. Yeah. I use that stuff like ketchup. So
but
like,
definitely the berry compote.
Oh yeah,
that comes through. But yeah, the hoisin, and even on the nose with that smoked paprika in the beginning, I'm like, I don't really get that at all. But actually, I do now. You know, it's nice when they sit in the glass and they open up a little bit and they change over time. And that makes it interesting.
And that's the thing.
Also screws up my scores, by the way. Because
I mean, with wine, that's why when we do the shows, I mean, we'll double or even triple aerate these before we go to tasting. But over the course of tasting notes and over the course of recording an hour show, you know, you've got a couple hours in on these wines and they will drastically change. And it's not uncommon that we're sitting at the table and I'm waving at everybody going like, hey, up or down, you know, I mean, everybody's talking about this one like it's the greatest thing ever. Sometimes our scores do change over time because of that.
But in fairness, they rarely go down. They often go up.
They often go up.
And yes. I think that underscores something that's worth mentioning, and that is patience pays off. In general, if you pour something, whether it be wine or whiskey, and you don't appreciate it to the max in the first five minutes, give it time, walk away, come back to it, and you will be rewarded for your patience.
It's been locked in that prison of a bottle for how many years?
Many.
Give it time. Let it stretch. It's like you getting off of a airline trip to Hong Kong. I mean, good Lord, man. Give it some time to stretch and move around and shake it off and let us see what it's all about.
No, I agree. I think that very little bad could happen giving it extra time, but you can definitely miss the peak experience.
I can count the ones on my hand that have gotten worse over time.
Correct.
I mean, sometimes it doesn't make a difference, but it always helps. So it's fantastic. What do you think, Justin?
So I got the blackberries that people mention. I got white pepper and smoked pulled pork.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
And the finish was great. I got like a little bit of soy on the back palate. The fruit came through. I was very happy. I didn't get the hoisin either.
But you got the soy. So you're almost there.
I was so hoping for the hoisin.
we were hoping for it, but
when
it
I was
didn't
putting the scripts together,
me.
I'm like, hoisin? Oh my word. And we'd had it.
I need to have a dumpling.
We'd had it at the winery, and I'm like, I don't remember that. But you know, I'd been drinking all day. So you know, who knows?
It could happen. Yeah.
But we're gonna be rating the Ehlers Estate 1886 Cab 2021, a well deserved four sips.
That's
if you find any of the Ehlers wines, grab them.
They're very hard to find. I have not seen any in the open market.
Well, most of what we have here other than the BV is you're not going to find. You've got to look for it. It takes time. So, well, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another fantastic morning in the basement.
Would you care to inhale the Tony Chachere's?
I'm okay, thank you.
Draw your line.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can snort it.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you very much for the wine inside and out.
Oh, yeah. You had a little mishap over there.
Somebody's had a, somebody needs a bib.
All right.
This is what we do for you. Our fans. We drink and we sacrifice. So, well, thank you for joining us. Remember, life's too short to drink cheap wine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.